We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 63 of Knowing Wheel podcast. And I'm introing this week, which has not happened in the previous 62 episodes. So it's a groundbreaking occasion because, yeah, our colleague Matt, if you want to say hello.
Hello.
He doesn't want to say hello. He's not feeling too well. So I forced him to come on Discord and record a podcast for our String Grand Prix preview. And then he's probably going straight back to bed. So do you want to say any words at all?
Like James just said there, you know, ignore me throughout a lot of today's show. You know, if it looks like I've fallen asleep at some point, I literally have just woken up again. I've basically been in bed for about the last 19 hours. It's not been the mood. But, you know, the things we do for the podcast, a.k.a. Jamie forced me to come online today.
Yeah, I did.
But yeah, Jamie, are you going to plug everything you need to successfully?
Yeah, I've never done this before, but I think we have obviously check the podcast out on Spotify. Ratings are really appreciated over there. Subscribe to Matt. This is on his channel. It's not mine. Follow us on Twitter. Go check out the links in the description to Manscaped, to F1 merch, Bybit.
Yes.
And is that everything?
I think, well, bearing in mind, normally each week, yeah, I ask you if I forgot something, because you tend to remember better than me.
Okay, there we go. Do all those things.
I feel like a proud mother hen right now.
I've been let loose on the podcast for once, right?
You have.
I feel like I've got all the power in my hands. But what we're going to start with is something that you touched on in our Silverstone review, or maybe it was the preview. But basically, part of the technical directive from the FIA about the porpoising, which hasn't really been spoken about for, it feels like, ages, but it's probably about one race. Part of that, they basically discovered that, well, there's suspicions that certain teams have been flexible on their planks under the car. Specifically Red Bull and Ferrari have apparently got flexible floors, which obviously Mercedes are not happy about, and all the other teams are not too happy about if it's true. They're bringing in a new directive to test how flexible these floors are, because currently, I don't know if you've seen anything about this, Matt, but they currently test how flexible the floor is right at the front of the plank, and then about a fifth of the way down the plank from the front. So basically, from there backwards, they can do what they like, and the FIA don't check, which they think is what Ferrari and Red Bull have been doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like we said, we did touch upon this. I think it was in the Silverstone review show. But, you know, sort of Mercedes have, of course, been very vocal about it, because it's, you know, as always in Formula One, it's whether a team has cheated or whether the FIA, a team has interpreted the rules differently, isn't it? F1 is, you know, F1 and politics are like cheese on toast, to be honest. You know, they just go hand in hand. I think the big question is for a lot of people, isn't it? You know, could this new directive bring Mercedes right back to the front? I've seen some people online claiming that maybe they have still built the fastest legal car again this year. but we'll have to wait and see about that. And of course, Austria, I mean, we'll talk more about the Austrian Grand Prix track in just a second. But, you know, this place basically belongs to one driver and one driver only. This could be what brings Mercedes right back into the fight.
Yeah, it could be. And we got a little taste of what, it was kind of a six-car fight, I guess, Verstappen and Perez kind of were compromised in Silverstone, but we got a taste of it there. So if that happens the rest of the season, it will give us some more bangers, I'm sure. But those changes, the FIA are tidying up on this rule, but they were not coming until France. So don't expect any changes in terms of the pecking order, really, until the French Grand Prix in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, we'll move on to Austria, which is coming up. Well, qualifying is the day this is going out, as long as Matt's not died between now and tomorrow.
In about an hour and a half with a bit of luck, yeah. unless I have died, like Jamie said. If not, it was lovely knowing most of you.
Yeah, apart from me. Yeah, it's a sprint weekend, so get qualifying on if you've forgotten about that on Friday evening. I always like sprint weekends. I think they obviously were very controversial at the start. I think as a podcast, we've come to the consensus that we quite enjoy them for the entertainment's point of view. So yeah, you got any exciting thoughts on the sprint format again?
Yeah, no, I mean, like we sort of said, you know, between us, we've seen half the sprint weekends live ever. That ratio is going to get binned by the end of the year. but yeah, no, I think we both agree, you know, they're going to keep experimenting it with a few different tracks, I think, over the next couple of years. But I think if suddenly the FIA turned around tomorrow and said next year there's going to be 6 sprint weekends, depending, of course, obviously, which tracks they were, I don't think I'd be too gutted.
I think they just make the whole weekend format a bit more exciting, I think, especially on tracks where potentially you need that bit of extra spice. I mean, I guess tracks like Silverstone, like Baku, you can always kind of guarantee they're going to be quite good. But yeah, Austria is a bit hit or miss. Obviously, we've been quite lucky with a few races in the last few years. But yeah, tracks like that, maybe the sprint is a bit more useful, but we'll have to wait and see for this weekend. But I'm sure it'll be fun. So yeah, we've got the third distance race on Saturday afternoon to set the grid and also give out some points on Saturday as well. And yeah, interestingly, the Friday qualifying, Friday night, it could be a wet qualifying session, which we've obviously seen. That would be 3 races in a row where it's been raining, which is curious because rain isn't that common in Formula 1 usually. But if it does happen, then yeah, we could see another, well, Carlos Sainz pole, you never know.
2016 style, I reckon.
Oh yeah, Hulk on the front row, we love that.
And JB third in the Muck Honda.
Yeah, that was a interesting qualifying session, to say the least, back in 2016. If you haven't watched it, then go search for some clips, because you'll see Hülkenberg at his best, which is always good.
Sorry, where was he at the end of that one?
5th or 6th, I can't... Not on the front row anymore.
No, definitely not. Not on the podium places. Yeah, but I think sprint weekends, that I'm just, to be honest, trying to think of other circuits I would like to see host a sprint weekend, because it can be kind of counterintuitive, can't it?
Mm.
Like, you think Monza would be a great track for it, and that didn't really... No, because there wasn't a sprint. No, there was a sprint in Monza last year, wasn't there?
Didn't change anything.
Didn't really work. All it kind of did was give Valtteri Bottas a good chance to...
Yeah,
no, because he won the sprint, didn't he?
Yeah. He won the sprint, but had a grid penalty. So
penalties started
the
back.
Spa, I think, would be quite cool.
I was just thinking that, and then worried that it wouldn't, on the other hand, because, I mean, Spa is already, I mean, that's something else we can discuss, isn't it, quickly? There's more and more evidence to go saying that it's either going to be Spa or Le Castellet that gets dropped for 2023, and my lord, do I hope it's Le Castellet, not Spa.
Yeah, Spa, I think, maybe make Eau Rouge a bit safer. I think we're all kind of getting to that sort of conclusion.
Well, I've seen the onboards for it. It looks a whole lot safer now in 2023.
Okay. Yes, if it's Le Castellet and Catalunya stay and Spa doesn't, that's an absolute crime.
That is, yeah, Formula L from then on.
Definitely.
But Friday night qualifying is the vibe for sprint
weekends. I
absolutely
love it. The Silverstone last year when I was there for the sprint weekend, the Friday evening, George Russell Q3 was insane.
Yeah, in the Williams.
In the Williams, first ever.
Yeah, because it was a beautiful summer evening, wasn't it, as well? I remember that, being sat at home, loving
amazing
life. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think other tracks that would suit a sprint race. I get, you know, I think we all know why Brazil's got one again this year, obviously after Hamilton's masterclass last year. Mexico, maybe? Just trying to think, you know, that run down towards turn one.
Yeah, it's kind
spicy
of where you want interesting things to happen, really. Which I think why Spa would be interesting, just because of the run up to Le Com.
Yeah, very true.
Because it's in like four wide there multiple times. But yeah, well, let us know what you think in the comments. Which track would you love to see get a sprint race? Or maybe you would hate to see any sprint races.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think? Let us know below. And are you excited for the sprint race on Saturday, Austria?
Yeah.
What is next? I forgot I meant to be leading this. Sorry.
We are looking at the man who's running his entire career backwards, I think.
Oh, yes. If you haven't seen, it's fairly minor news, but I just thought it was quite funny. Roberto Merhi is the absolute legend from the 2015 Mana team, is back in F2, which is not where you would expect him, considering he's literally had a season in Formula One before, or half a season at least. Yeah, he's replacing
Ralph Boschon,
who is also very old to be in F2, but Roberto Merhi is somehow half a decade older than Ralph Boschon.
I mean, yeah, why on earth they put a 31-year-old back in a Formula 2 car?
I don't know.
I don't really know.
Surely there's people kicking around who'd want a F2 seat who are a bit younger.
Yeah, you'd hope so. You'd really hope so. But yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Roberto Merhi gets on. I mean, like we said, he ran in F1 back in 2015, then went back to F2.
Yeah, last race in F2 was the end of 2018.
2018, yeah, and now he's gone back into F2 again.
Four years later.
the only possible sort of way I can see myself being really happy with this if somehow it sets in motion a Mana revival. You know, if we can get Mana back on the F1 grid.
Will the lad Stevens, Roberto Merhi, 2024.
Oh, mate, make it happen. Make it happen, Mana.
Yeah, even we miss Mana.
We do, even though I don't think they do any racing anymore.
I don't think so.
Because they were running still in Le Mans, like LMP2s, yeah. And then I think LMP3, but I don't even think they do that anymore.
They were from my ends as well, back in South Yorkshire.
Yeah, they weren't they? Yeah, because it's always the Top Gear clip, isn't it?
Yeah, based in Sheffield.
Our car's made of steel. Fernando Alonso hits us, that Ferrari is ruined.
Wow, you can tell that Matt's maybe had too many medications today. shall we move on to another F2 driver who there's a little more fanfare about recently, to say the least, pretty negatively.
I don't think fanfare is the right word.
Fanfare negatively, I guess.
I think what that is no, what's like what's the word when people go around with pitchforks?
A mob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Yuri Vips, if you hadn't worked that one out.
Yeah.
Came out this week that despite before Silverstone he got supposedly dropped from the being backed by Red Bull until they had a contract suspended, obviously no longer of the test or reserve driver for Red Bull. It turns out he's still part of the program, the Red Bull Junior Academy, which is a bit curious because it's kind of saying one thing that everyone's giving you praise for and then actually doing something else, which I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me at all.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because, like we said, you know, the way Red Bull kind of worded it was obviously he's been booted, but he's actually, yeah, only been booted from Red Bull's F1 team as such rather than the Red Bull program. So he's still part of their driver program, which I guess, you know, when it comes to, you know, why obviously Hi-Tech didn't drop him, of course, that now makes sense. But you know, we just need Liam Lawson to pick it up and to prove his F1 material.
Yeah, Liam Lawson's not been brilliant, but he's got a chance to build off the back of his podium in Silverstone straight away with F2 and F3 back this weekend.
Yes, I mean, it is going to be a rammed weekend once more, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Austria. I don't think... It's a bit of a weird news week, isn't it, though, Jamie? Because we haven't really, at the time of recording this anyway... We haven't really heard. I don't think any teams are bringing any major upgrades.
No, Spielberg. Well, they're going straight from Silverstone, aren't they? So there's no real time.
Yeah, you sort of think, you know, a lot of teams often in the past, because, you know, Austria over the last couple of years has been a weirdly significant race circuit, hasn't it? You know, 2020, of course, it was the first race back, and they did two races there.
Yeah, back to back.
And then, of course, last year it was the only track we did two races at again.
Yeah.
So Spielberg's had a lot of F1 over the last 2 years.
It's becoming a bit of a Spain in terms of the teams know it like the back of their hand.
Yes, so. Yeah. But I guess that means then, you know, without much major Formula One news before we get into the weekend, do we jump into predictions? Ooh.
I guess so. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just closing all my tabs. Let me have a look quickly on the F1.
Yeah, I checked
page.
Before this. Well, I mean, yeah. To be fair, we did only record a podcast like 3 days ago.
Yeah, this was the weird thing. I think we were kind of both hoping for a little bit more news.
Yeah, not a lot has gone out since then, other than the fact that Zhou Guan Yu and Alex Albon are both cleared to race, which is always good news for Austria.
Yeah.
Obviously, horrific crash at the start of Silverstone. But yeah, they're both good to go. Hopefully, they have clean weekends. That would be a nice start. And hopefully, well, if it's rainy again, Guan Yu Zhou is going to show everyone levels and qualify Q3 ahead of Bottas again. So
wow, out qualifying Bottas in the rain, what a goat!
Absolutely.
I reckon I could jump in at Alfa Romeo and out qualify Bottas in the rain.
I don't think you could right now. I feel like your reactions are like half a second.
If right now, if I even got in there, I'd just be sick everywhere.
You'd fall asleep.
I'd do a Mark Webber from, what was it, 2007?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'd probably also, yeah, fall asleep currently. But I think as well, I was about to say Austria is one of the only tracks we've both been to, but now we've both been to the same three circuits, haven't we?
Yes.
We've both done Austria, yeah. We've both done Spa, we've both done Silverstone now.
Yeah, and I'm going Spa again, so
yes,
that
yeah, you
change.
Are. Aren't you? You are. Let's discuss then, Jamie183, top three predictions for the Red Bull Ring.
Oh, we've got sprint winner as well, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we got four. So we got five choices: pole, sprint winner, and podium.
Yes, and currently I'm obviously winning.
So does that mean I get to go first?
You can go first. Yeah.
I am going to say, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. This should be a Max Verstappen dominant weekend.
It should be.
Should be. However, I'm immediately going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Charles Leclerc on pole.
Fair enough. He's got good form for that, to be fair.
I think he's going to be driving with a lot of anger after Silverstone. And one lap pace, Charles Leclerc is still different gravy.
He's got a lot of poles.
He's got a lot of poles and no race victories to show for it. Basically, his entire F1 career has just been a lot of poles with no wins to show for it. And I'm gonna stick to that vibe. I'm going to say Verstappen sprint winner and Verstappen Grand Prix winner. But I'm also going to say top three, Verstappen, Leclerc, and...
You want to put Hamilton in, don't you?
I'm gonna say, I was really and about Hamilton. I'm gonna say Perez.
Fair enough. So yeah, Leclerc good on Friday, and then Red Bull from there on, you're thinking, is gonna take over.
Yes. I'm just gonna have a bit better race pace.
Pretty similar vibe, I feel.
You're not, you're gonna change it up and be interesting so I can catch up.
I would go Verstappen on pole position.
Okay.
On Friday pole, that is. Verstappen to win the sprint race.
Okay.
Verstappen to win the Grand Prix.
Okay, so Verstappen
of,
dominant weekend.
Ahead of Perez and
okay.
Carlos Sainz.
What happens to Leclerc?
Leclerc's got one podium in the last six races, so I feel like I can back a non-podium again.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, I'll allow that. I mean, that is a mad start, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
I guess the other big important thing this weekend, of course, is just to remember the fact, you know, Leclerc and Verstappen have got beef here.
They have. I was there. Very
You were there, yeah.
2019.
When...
Yeah, the start of the whole let them race mantra, which has kind of deteriorated into absolute chaos since
then.
The
barge them off mantra.
Yes. I still think that was a fair move, to be fair. Obviously, I'd be annoyed if I was Leclerc, but
yeah.
I think it would have been harsh to penalise. And it was a sick atmosphere, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I can understand why they didn't penalise, because it would have been a very unpopular decision. But, you know, we saw last year, didn't we, of course, 5-second penalties were being handed out like they were going out of fashion because people were barging each other off into the gravel. And again, you know, F1 still seems to... I mean, we spoke about this last week. F1 still seems to be based on what you push them out into rather than whether you've pushed them out or not.
Mm. Yeah, which, yeah, it's a shame, but I do understand why that is, but it.
But
I don't
do you
like
think
it.
It's right?
No, I don't. I don't think it's right.
No.
But I also think the solution isn't to penalise every time you push someone off.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. They need
it's
to climb down.
It's a very difficult issue, isn't it?
It is. Because like, imagine the lap 45 battle in Silverstone. You've got Leclerc, Perez, both getting multiple penalties if you're going to give penalties for every time you push someone off.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll wait and see what the FIA are doing this weekend. But there's plenty of gravel. So if anyone finds it, they're likely to get a penalty, or the driver pushing them off it anyway.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure. Let's make a prediction then, Jamie. How many penalties do we think we'll be handed out?
For forcing another driver off the track. I will
yes.
go for two.
I'm going to say three.
Oh, actually, can I go two for the Grand Prix and one in the sprint?
No.
Why?
Because I was thinking exactly that.
Okay, I'll go none in the sprint and two in the Grand Prix.
Okay, good, good. Anything else, though, we need to add before we finish this one off?
I really don't think there is. It's been a slow news week.
It has been quite a slow news week, and luckily for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, though, you know, that. Fair play to Jamie. He has taken over the podcast this week absolutely perfectly. I couldn't have trusted anyone else to do it better than him. Yeah, you know, just quickly as well, of course, an apology from me. You know, content probably will be a little bit thin on the ground over the next couple of days because of this.
Because your immune system's weak.
Exactly. It's just because I've just been so busy over the last week or so. But, you know, I'm hopefully going to be doing a video, obviously, talking about Silverstone weekend. I might also try and do a bit of a sort of race recap from the Creator race I did Tuesday night. That was a really good fun evening as well. But, yeah, I think, Jamie, unless there's anything from you to add, mate, I think you can go an outro this, sorry, I should say.
Yeah, I think that basically wraps us up. I really can't remember how you outro these.
You've got to put your own twist on it, mate. You've got to put your own twist on it.
Follow me on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter, at least.
Yeah, the Twitter handles are beneath. I tweet loads of absolute rubbish, but like maybe
yeah,
one
you
in
have
five.
Been today.
One in five tweets is maybe quite good.
I mean, it's just been a lot of Top Gear references to try yes. and relate to anything so far today, yeah. which has been weird on my timeline.
They've missed the mark a little bit today. I've been off form, but there we go.
I mean,
if you
has
if you
Boris
want some...
Johnson resigned?
Yeah, he has.
Actually. Has he actually? Did
have
I miss
not seen
the
that?
News?
Oh,
no.
There's some news. Yeah, Boris Johnson's leaving, but not until...
No, I got told he was going to. I didn't actually get told he has.
No, he did. Yeah.
Oh,
so there's some
what
news.
Time was that?
That was at 12:30, so you
oh,
might
okay.
have been asleep.
I was asleep by then.
Yes. That's off topic, as usual. But yeah, if you've enjoyed this podcast, then yeah, let us know what you think. Rate us on Spotify, like the video, subscribe to Matt, follow us on Twitter, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, big
ups. I'm forgetting anything.
Thanks for 65K as well. Yep. You know, trying to hit 100K by the end of the year. Jamie doesn't think I'll do it. Jamie reckons it's going to take me 3 years. So let's prove him wrong.
Yes, please do. And that about wraps us up. So yeah, thanks, Matt, for leaving your bed for a couple, like half an hour or so.
You're more than welcome.
And yeah, we'll see you for the Austrian Grand Prix review on hopefully Tuesday, if Matt edits the video in time.
Yes, if I'm still alive by then.
And we'll see you next time.